sorry about that.
Here, Barry, I found one of our signs.
Which one?
The demolition of this pub is strictly forbidden.
Must get that enlarged.
World of Pub was written by Tony Roach and based on an original idea by Tony Roach and David Specchio, and starred John Thompson, Peter Serafinowicz, Phil Cornwell, Kim Wall and Deborah Stevenson. Theme music by Bill Bailey, special effects by Carl Phillips and Nick Romero. The producer was Jane Bertou.
Hello, Cowboy Colin.
Dodgy Phil.
Listen, mate, I might have some work I can put your way.
And luckily for us, the pub is rebuilt in time for next week when Dodgy Phil comes up with a storming scheme to give it a new, environmentally friendly image.
The digital station for comedy, drama and entertainment. BBC Radio 4 Extra.
And now on 4 Extra, let's catch up with this week's Ambridge Extra. And Fallon isn't in the best of moods.
I so wish I'd been there.
Oh, me too. Her expression, Harry. She actually believed me and Reese were engaged. Didn't you, Fallon?
I can't really hear.
That'll teach her to start matchmaking.
Well, the worst was the date we had in the bird hide.
Can you pass another beer?
Poor Reese, I could feel him shivering. We were snuggled up all like this.
Never mind, just cause you in the back there. The map read us thirsty.
What's happened to that four-pack?
It's finished. Hurry up, I demand to have some booze.
Here you go.
Give me one as well, Harry. A beer, I mean.
Harry, isn't Fallon silly? Did I mention I'm single?
What's the matter with you?
I wish her and Reese were going out.
You're no still doe-eyed over Wonder Boy, are you? I thought you'd be our Henry New.
Look, I'm just tired, okay? I've been driving for hours.
All right.
They sound as if they're high.
I'll tell you what, enough of this miserable rubbish.
Jazzo, no.
Let's put some decent music on.
But I like it. Please, Jazzo, I'm not in the mood for any of your thrash death metal fusion.
Just wait and see.
What was that?
Ugh.
No, come on, not now.
What's up?
Are we nearly there yet?
Oh, don't do this to me.
Don't panic, just pull her onto the hard shoulder.
Stupid heap of junk.
I thought you'd fixed it.
I'm not a miracle worker. Keep the engine running. I'll have a shifty. Come on, Harry. You can give me a hand.
Yeah, aye, aye.
It's just perfect.
Don't worry. Jazz will get it running properly.
Still, bet you're glad you came.
Huh?
The idea was supposed to be to get me and Harry together.
You don't think... Fallon, we're only keeping ourselves entertained.
Sounds like it.
Well, it's not my fault Jazza insisted he didn't want to sit in the back any longer.
All right, I'm sorry. I'm just worried about the van. Should have listened to Mum and just forked out for breakdown cover.
Sorry, Captain. There's no much I can do here.
So what are we going to do?
Well, she's still running.
For the moment.
I tell you what, we're not far from the next exit and Shap's just down the road.
Where?
It's a village. They've got a garage. Although it's probably closed by now.
Well, how do you know?
I used to have a friend who lives nearby.
Was he still about? He could help.
Or at least he might know someone who can.
Well, I'm not really sure whether
Seriously, Harry, what else are we going to do?
Okay. Have you been back and forth then?
Well, no, wait, Harry, you better sit in the front.
Oh, right.
You're going to need to show me the way.
There must be some kind of way out of here.
How much further is it, Harry?
It's not far now.
Honestly, Jolene, we're okay.
So once over the bridge, it's the next left.
Well, here?
It is a road.
Yeah, don't worry.
Where the hell are you taking us, Harry?
I'm sure he knows where he's going. Hello? Jolene?
I don't think the van's going to last out.
I've lost the signal.
That's it then, we're doomed. I reckon this was Harry's plan all along.
What are you on about?
We were shooting in the middle of nowhere, then murdered us.
Oh, shut up. It's only up the road.
Seriously, though, how do you know this guy?
He's probably some nutter who wears his mother's skin as a dress.
He's an old friend from uni. We shared a flat together.
I take that back. I don't understand why he lives in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, careful around this corner.
You've been here before, though.
Yeah, a few times.
So how come you've never mentioned him?
I suppose we just lost touch.
Well, he must have been a really good friend. Harry?
Take a right here.
Oh. Up there!
His cottage is at the top of the hill.
Harry, seriously, it's not going to make it.
Okay.
Oh, we're going to end up blowing the engine or something.
Well, pull in here, then.
Oh.
Okay. I'll tell you. This is where he sacrifices us on a bare rock.
It's only about 50 metres up the lane.
That's what he says.
Well done, Harry. Good job.
Yeah, that wasn't easy.
Thanks. Let's just hope he's home. Oh, that's better. Mm. Oh, it's nice to get out of the van, at least.
Wow, this really is remote.
Oh, not really. Penrith isn't that far.
Fallon!
Yeah?
Wayne!
Oh, yes, please. Well, I'm not going to have to do any more driving today, am I?
Oh, I hope not. I'll go and see if he's in.
Oh, I'll come with you.
Oh, and me?
No.
Here, grab the mug.
Oh. There's no point in us all trudging up there. I won't be long.
Yeah, get out, don't you?
Oh, no, wait.
Honestly.
There's someone coming.
What?
Harry! It is you!
Grant!
What on earth are you doing here? It's great to see you.
Yeah, you too.
I heard a van. I wonder what was going on.
Oh, hey there. Oh.
Freud, get down. I'm sorry, he's a bit over-friendly.
Oh, no, he's sweet. Oh, I love schnauzers.
Hi, I'm Grant.
Oh, Kirsty.
Sorry, this is Fallon.
Hi.
And Jazza.
How are you doing, pal?
We're on our way up to Edinburgh, but the van, well...
She's temperamental.
Yeah.
And Harry said he had a friend living nearby who might be able to help.
Hope you don't mind.
No, of course not. Come on up to the cottage.
Oh, you're a star.
Do you need somewhere to sleep for the night?
No, we've got the van.
But you're not kipping in that thing, are you?
What?
I used to struggle to persuade you to go camping.
Oh.
I think you better stay at mine.
Oh, that's
brilliant. Amazing. Come on. Let's do that then.
The sound of love is beating like a fevered heart. And it's the fire, the fire, the fire. It's heavenly, heavenly desire. No way! You really did that.
So did Harry.
Oh, he talked me into it.
Like hell I did. You stripped down to the buff before me.
Did anybody spot you?
No, it was quite late in the day.
But it must have been freezing.
You soon warm up once you've been in the water.
Really? Can you vouch for that, Harry?
I think I'm going to go and get some more beer for the van.
Right, okay.
Have you checked the fridge?
Yeah.
Already?
There's wine.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a smoke.
Oh, I'll have a glass, Harry.
Just watch Freud doesn't follow you out.
Hi. Oh, can you fill me up as well?
Yeah, Grant, pass Fallon the bottle.
Oh, sure.
Oh, I've never dared to go skinny dipping. Quite tempted now, though.
Are you now?
Sounds like you know the lakes pretty well, Harry.
Yeah, I guess.
I've only ever passed through. Perhaps while the van's being fixed...
Yeah, we could go for a hike.
Well, if we've time.
Well, I've got no plans for tomorrow.
Hey, let's do it.
You know what? I might give Jazza a hand.
Fine.
Oh, sorry.
Just as long as it's not a ploy to get us to go swimming again.
Why not?
Yeah, I'm game if you are.
It'll be like old times, Harry.
Here, won't you be missing another great tale of student japes?
Oh, don't, I'm sick of it. She's all over him.
Who?
Who do you think? Kirsty?
I had worked that bit out.
Oh, Harry, of course.
Oh, Fallon.
This trip's a disaster before it's even started.
He's not worth it. Seriously, he's too much of a numpty to see what's right in front of him.
Well, it doesn't look like he's having any trouble now. Meanwhile, I'm sat up on my shelf.
Don't talk mince. You could have MD you wanted.
Except Harry.
That's because he's a numpty. There's nothing wrong with you. You're perfect.
Bless you.
I mean it.
I know you do. Well, give us a hug. Great big numpty.
That's my word.
Well, I've nicked it.
All right. Since it's you.
Come on. Let's go and get that beer.
No, where are you going?
If we're going to play spin the bottle, then we need a bottle.
Oh, we'll use this one.
An empty one.
Well, it'll be empty soon.
Oh, God, it's all going to come out now.
Why? What are you hiding? Oh, that he is lovely, though. In fact, he reminds me a bit of Patrick. Except, well...
Hot?
Yeah, he's gorgeous. And this cottage, I mean, how nice is it?
Oh, you should be up here in the winter. Get snowed in for days.
Oh, I can imagine. Quiet nights in front of the fire.
Curled up under a blanket.
Dog asleep by the hearth. Must be heaven.
Yeah.
Oh! Officer Daisy.
Yeah, it was. Heaven.
Use your horn. Lassie's first.
Oh, cheers. Where's the switch for the fairy lights? Can't see a thing.
There you go.
Oh, that's so pretty. So much for lying under him with Harry.
Would you stop that?
I know. It's never going to happen. Why does nobody love me, Jazzer?
Plenty of people love you.
Not like that. It's not as if I'm a minger.
You're beautiful.
And I'm funny. Well, make you laugh anyway.
You do.
And I can pull a pint. I mean, what more could a man want?
Nothing at all.
Jazzer.
You're just being a bad drunk. Come on, let's grab that beer.
No.
We're sure that we can still have a good time, eh?
No, I don't want to go back.
But...
Not yet. Let's just lie here for a while. It's not as if they're going to miss us. Please, Jazzer.
All right.
Close the door.
No.
Is it going to stop?
Oh, no, don't blow on it.
Aha, Grant.
Ah, hell.
What's it going to be?
Give me truth.
Truth? Oh, let's see. I know. How come you and Harry haven't seen each other for so long?
What I said before, we just kind of lost touch. Oh, well, don't believe me then.
No, I don't. You're obviously such good mates. There's no way you just lose touch. So, what happened?
We had a bit of a falling out.
Really? Well, no, I am intrigued.
Well, look, it was a long time ago. Let's not drag it up.
It was my fault anyway.
No.
It was.
Well, not all of it.
It was, Harry.
Well, anyway, I wish it had never happened.
Me too. There isn't a day that goes by that I don't regret it.
Wow. What on earth was it? Come on.
I need another whiskey.
Was it some kind of love triangle? I bet it was, wasn't it? Who was she?
She?
Oh, the girl you fell out over. I mean, Grant, I can't believe you haven't broken a few hearts in your time.
Oh, he has.
Don't be quiet, you.
So I'm right, then?
Yeah, you're right.
But it wasn't a girl.
What do you mean it wasn't a girl? But you just said... Oh.
Jazzer.
Sorry.
No. Don't stop, I like it.
You've got such soft hair.
Needs a wash. Thank you. You're always so lovely to me. There I am pining after some guy who's never going to be interested. With all my dumb dreams of becoming a star.
You're a star.
See? You think I'm special just for being me?
Of course.
Makes me wonder if I've got it all wrong. I need another drink.
Do you know I think you've had enough?
You don't get sensible on me, mister.
All right, but mind your head.
Ow!
Oh. Do you want me to get it for you?
Oh!
Careful, Fallon. Sorry.
What is it?
I can't.
Jazzer.
You're drunk and you're upset. If you wanted, you wouldn't.
I am not a child. I appreciate you being all gentlemanly. But just be the same as you would be with any other girl.
But.
Really, Jazzer. Just be you, okay? Jazzo. Jazzo.
Hey, gorgeous.
Oh, God.
You all right?
Yeah.
Do you want some air in the sleeping bag?
No, I need to get up. Where are my jeans?
I'm not sure. What time is it?
It's light. Ah, there they are.
You going back to the house?
Yeah.
I'll come with you.
Jazzo, no.
Just give me a minute to get into my clothes.
No, really, you stay under the sleeping bag. I'm not feeling too hot.
Oh, dear. Heat banging.
I reckon I'm going to be made to suffer today.
Are you sure you don't want me to hold your hair back for you?
Honestly, Jazzo. Thanks. I think I'm better off on my own. Ow!
Huh?
Oh.
What? Oh! Who is it?
Kirsty. Sorry, I didn't see you.
Oh, Alan.
What are you doing there? Have you been on the sofa all night?
Seems like it.
Oh.
What happened to you and Jazza?
Oh, we just passed out in the van. So tired. You know, after all that driving.
Oh, sure.
Let's get some light in here.
Oh.
Look at this place. Oh, we've got some tidying up to do. Oh.
What?
Mirror.
Oh.
So what about you then? Oh. You looked as if you were enjoying yourself with the boys.
Oh, making a complete fool of myself, more like.
Really?
Oh, yes. There I was, laying out the goods for Grant, thinking he was interested too.
Grant? Well, wait a minute.
It wasn't me he was interested in at all.
What do you mean? I thought it was Harry that you were flirting with.
Harry? No, of course not. Oh, is that why you left?
Well,
I told you, I don't fancy Harry.
Oh. So what went wrong with Grant then?
Ugh.
Kirsty?
No, it's a new shower.
Oh, I thought it was different.
There'll be plenty of hot water.
Grant!
Harry.
Oh, sorry.
We didn't realise.
Oh, we thought you were down at the van.
No,
we'll
I...
We'll go back upstairs and sling some clothes on.
Yeah, morning, anyway.
Morning.
Need any more explanations?
There's only one bedroom, isn't there?
You got it. Oh, once I realised I was surplus to requirements, I must have fallen asleep. When I woke around 4, they'd put a rug over me and disappeared upstairs.
You mean... But Harry, he's...
Apparently not. Or at least not entirely.
You're kidding.
I spent the entire evening flaunting myself like a desperate drunken gooseberry.
Kirsty.
Well, you can open your eyes now. I've got my dressing gown on.
Oh, don't worry, but I'm sure you look better than us.
Even in your boxers.
So, who's for breakfast?
No, this is some sort of wind-up. You've all got together and thought, let's have a good laugh at Jazz and make him believe that Harry and his mate are a pair.
It's true.
What? So you're telling me Harry plays for the other team?
If you want to put it like that.
I'm no buying it. Get off here, he was head over heels.
It is possible, he's bi.
Bi?
And sexual.
It's too early for this.
We're not having you on.
But I've shared a flat with a guy I robbed his shower gel.
So,
what have you been...
Don't worry, Jazza. By the looks of Grant, you're not exactly his type.
What's that supposed to mean?
Here we go. This should help with those sore heads. Freud, get out from under my feet.
Oh, brilliant.
Bacon and eggs for you, Kirsty.
Cheers, Grant.
And full English for you, Jazza. I've cooked loads, so, you know, if you fancy an extra sausage.
You're all right. I think I'll be fine.
But why didn't you say anything before?
It never came up. It's not like I need to walk around wearing a badge.
No, I know.
And anyway, if anything, I'm 60-40.
60-40?
Oh, come on. Don't tell me you've never seen another woman and thought, whoa.
Yeah, I guess. Occasionally.
So you're, what, 95-5?
But how about Grant?
Oh, no. He's just a raging queen.
Harry!
Look, I've just not met a guy who's done it for me recently, that's all.
Since Grant, you mean? Harry, it's fine. Kirsty's told me a bit. You're not over him, are you?
Look, it's complicated. Last night was great, but after everything that's happened...
So what exactly did happen?
How are we doing? Is that coffee brewed?
I think so. Should I take it through?
No, you're my guest.
No, it's fine. Can I have two rashers, please, Harry?
No worries.
Oh, and I'll have my eggs over easy.
I know. Just about to do it.
Why don't you split the yolk?
Oh, leave off. I'm the chef here, remember?
Yeah, I remember. Listen, Harry.
Grant,
we should probably find some time to talk.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Freud for a walk up on the fell after breakfast. Why don't you come with me?
Excuse me, Freud. Can I sit down?
Oh, he's after Jazz's sausages.
You'll be lucky.
You don't have any breakfast.
Well, it's just come in. I need some coffee first.
You two.
What?
You look as if you hardly slept a wink.
Oh, no, we did. Well, at least I did. I don't know about Jazzer.
I slept fine.
Well, must have been asleep by 11. Wasn't I, Jazzer?
You pretty much dropped off as soon as we get back to the van. There you are, pal.
Oh, don't give him your sausage.
I'm not that hungry.
Jazzer?
I suppose I should go and see if I can get that engine running properly.
Well, are we going to ring a garage?
Let me give it a try first.
Well, good luck. To be honest, I don't mind if it takes a while. The thought of rocking around in the back of that van again.
Sure.
Mind you, it's a bit awkward here, you know, with Harry and Grant. I feel like they kind of need a bit of space. It's so romantic, isn't it? I mean, to have tried to bury their feelings for so long and then all of a sudden out of the blue.
Yeah, I suppose.
At least someone got what they wanted last night.
I think I'm going to go and grab my stuff from the van.
What about your breakfast?
Well, I won't be long. I could do with washing last night out of my hair. Jazzer?
I told you, let me have a look at it first.
No.
It's probably just your fuel pump again.
No, it's not that. Jazzer, I want to apologise.
Huh? What for?
Just then, with Kirsty.
Forget it.
I don't want you to think... Well, you know, it's not that I'm ashamed.
Fallon, it's fine, I understand.
No, it isn't. It was all just a bit mad. I'd had a few and I'd gone on a downer about Harry and Kirsty.
It's all right.
Although I couldn't have been more wrong about that.
I wish you'd stop fretting. I knew it was only a one-night thing.
But I don't want you to feel like I took advantage.
I don't think so.
Seriously, Jazzer? I know how you feel about me, but... It wasn't fair to play with your emotions like that.
You have no need to worry. Look, I can't change the way I feel about you. Last night's got you rank up there as the best night of my life. But I know you don't feel the same. That's probably why I like you so much. You're way too good for me.
Oh, no, that's rubbish.
That's fine. If one night's all I'm going to get, well then, I'm already a luckier man than I thought ever would be.
Jazzer...
I'd much rather we stayed good friends.
Yeah, of course. Oh, you're such a sweetheart and I'm such an idiot.
Huh?
Well, I wish I felt the same. I'd be so lucky to have a guy like you.
Well, I still showed you a good time, didn't I?
Don't think you need to ask that.
There you are, then. It's your secret. I promise I won't breathe a word.
Harry the milkman. Didn't see that coming.
Yeah, me neither. Actually, I quite like it. I live in this pretty little village.
With Jazza?
Yeah, that's right. But no.
No, I didn't think so. Not judging by his expression this morning.
Jazza's sound.
What about anyone else?
There was Zofia. She was a strawberry picker from Poland.
Oh, it gets better.
But she's back over there.
Freud! Good boy!
What about you?
Same, really. A few near misses. Nothing that's come close to what we had. Harry, I did mean what I said last night. Losing you... It was the worst mistake I ever made. If I could take back what I did...
Grant, it wasn't what you did.
Yes, it was.
It was why you did it. I know it couldn't have been easy seeing me out with my female friends and having a bit of a laugh and some fun.
I thought I couldn't compete.
Yeah, but it doesn't work like that, though, and you should have trusted me.
I know.
Or at least we could have talked about it.
I made a terrible mistake. If we were together now, it would be so much different. We were good together, Harry. So you're off to the Fringe, eh?
Yeah.
Well, I thought the Olympics would be more your bag.
Oh, couldn't get tickets.
Which was lucky for me.
Suppose we really ought to think about making tracks soon. If the van's working.
You sure?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Freud! Here, boy!
Still got a long way to go.
That sound?
Much better! You're my hero!
Well done, Jazza!
I don't believe it, you actually got it running!
Of course! I'm no Sam Ponce, doesn't know his spark plugs for his spare wheel. I mean, know that you...
Isn't the spare wheel the one you drive with, Harry?
Oh, no, that's the gear stick.
Well, anyway, thanks for saving us.
Hey, well, it wasn't exactly the evening I planned.
No.
But it's been great meeting you all.
Yeah, yeah. You too.
Is all the stuff in the van?
Yep.
Right. Well, it's been... really wonderful seeing you.
Yeah. Oh, come here. You look after yourself, yeah?
Yeah, I will. And take care of Freud.
Well, I need someone to share the bed with me. Jazza.
Good to meet you, pal.
Yeah, you as well. Have a good trip.
Thanks.
Hey, come and visit Ambridge sometime.
Not sure that's up to me.
See you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Right, how are we doing? Are we in?
All right.
We're in.
Let's find our way back to the motorway then. At least it's mainly downhill. How's it looking on your side? Harry, am I okay to do a Yui?
Yeah, you're fine.
Wakey, wakey. Don't start getting all misty-eyed over Brandt. I need directions.
Do you think you'll keep in touch now?
I expect so.
Should have known when I seen they post as a cyclist on your wall. It wasn't just their wheel rims you were interested
Jazza.
In. Jazza!
Oh,
filth! I'll just ignore him, Harry.
Bye! Okay, so it's this way at the bottom, yeah?
Fallon, stop.
What's the matter?
I can't. Jazza, pass me my rucksack.
But...
I have to take this chance. You lot don't mind, do you?
No!
Of course not.
If I don't, I'll only wonder what if.
You go for it, Harry.
There you go, pal.
Cheers. You'll find your way to the motorway. It's left here, then right, just before the bridge.
Right. Don't worry. If we get lost, we'll get Jazza to send up smoke signals.
Oh, I hope it works out.
Thanks. And I'm sorry I can't come with you.
Suits me. Means I get the lasses to myself.
Oh, you wish.
Take care, Harry.
Yeah. Have fun in Edinburgh.
Will do.
Bye, Harry.
See you.
Grant! Hold on! I'm not leaving! Wait!
In the Ambridge Extra Omnibus, you heard Michael Shelford as Harry Mason, Annabelle Dowler, Kirsty Miller, Joanna Van Campen, Fallon Rogers, Ryan Kelly was Jazza McCreary, and Sam Pamphilon, Grant. It was written by Tim Stimson, directed by Peter Leslie Wilde, and the producer was Sarah Bradshaw. Next Tuesday at 2:15, Fallon comes back from Edinburgh to find Jolene and Kenton in uproar.
A classic novel.
The view. Oh, the light.
Dramatised in four parts on BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Oh, you remind me of your mother. I wonder if she would approve of Mr. B.
I'm sure she will.
Ian Forster's celebrated social commentary, starring Sheila Hancock.
It is the fashionable world. I am used to Tunbridge Wells, where we are hopelessly behind the times.
A room with a view.
Why does it have to be like this? Why can't we just accept?
Starts on Monday morning at 10 and again in the afternoon at 3.
Now, Count Arthur Strong returns to BBC Radio 4 Extra in an exclusive programme next weekend to share with Mark Radcliffe the keys to his success. He also revisits the best episodes from his wildly popular radio show.
Churchill looks out of his window across the croquet court. Eventually, he speaks. We shall fight them at the seaside. We shall fight them at the shore. Never in the field of human conflicts. Human conflict. Have so few looked like so many from so far away.
Extra Strong, Count Arthur Speaks, next Saturday morning at 9 and again in the evening at 7 on BBC Radio 4 Extra.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
And now, Eleanor Bron reads Michael Holroyd's biography of the Victorian stage greats Henry Irving and Ellen Terry, part one of A Strange, Eventful History.
The past is now to me like a story in a book, Ellen Terry wrote in 1906. It was a fairy story, her life, or perhaps one of those melodramas she had been playing on stage for as long as her admirers could remember. In the public imagination, Ellen Terry had become an enchantress. Floating serenely across the stage, she was seen as a symbol of pure romance, virginal, unblemished. With the hair of gold and crimson lips, celebrated in a sonnet by Oscar Wilde, and a mysterious smile, which perhaps concealed no mystery, she was recognised as a pre-Raphaelite ideal. The Times dubbed her the uncrowned Queen of England. Alice Ellen Terry was born on the 27th of February 1847 at 44 Smithford Street, theatre lodgings above an eating house in Coventry. On her birth certificate, her father gave his occupation as comedian. The Terrys were strolling players who travelled the theatre circuits. "My sister Kate and I had been trained almost from our birth for the stage," Ellen wrote. "Long before I spoke in the theatre, I slept in one." Ellen had a genius for pleasing people, and was, as one critic called her, a perfect little heap of talent. Even so, she was not considered quite so talented as her elder sister. In 1852, Kate joined the company of the actor-manager Charles Kean at the Princess's Theatre, a narrow, gaslit building between a furrier and a tobacconist in the West End of London. The following year, Ellen also joined. Ellen's London debut at the age of 9 was as the little prince Mamilius in The Winter's Tale. On the first night, with Queen Victoria and Prince Albert in the theatre, when told by Leontes to go play, she did so with such verve that she tripped over the handle of her go-cart and fell on her back. But it didn't matter. Reverend Charles Dodgson noted that he especially admired the acting of Ellen Terry, who played with remarkable spirit and ease. At the end of the 1859 season, Charles Kean gave up the Princess's Theatre, and without a steady income, the Terry family had to leave London and once more seek their fortune on the road. Travelling the circuit was not so exciting as it had been when Ellen was very young. This time, she was aware that many people in the provinces still regarded actors as travellers and vagabonds who lived beyond the law, exiles from modern society. In 1862, while Kate was enjoying spectacular success at the Lyceum, Ellen, now aged 15, unhappily resumed her career at the Haymarket. Whatever Ellen did, her sister remained the principal actress in the family. Two of the most popular dramatists of the day, Charles Reade and Tom Taylor, were writing plays for Kate. It was Taylor who introduced Kate and Ellen to the painter George Frederick Watts. Watts, then in his mid-40s, was a somewhat lukewarm gentleman, according to Bernard Shaw, with a most luxurious dark brown beard falling down his chest. "It could have been mistaken," G.K. Chesterton suggested, "for a hairdresser's advertisement." He was a prey to melancholia and needed someone like Kate Terry, with her vivacious charm and good looks, to rouse him to great work. "Would it be practical," he wondered, "for someone to find me a wife? It would not involve the unpleasantness of what he called violent love. Matters were more complex, indeed more tepid, than that." Kate was almost 20, and certainly ripe for marriage, and nothing could match being wife to England's Michelangelo. She would have to be chaperoned, of course, should Watts desire to paint her. So Ellen accompanied her elder sister. When she came through the red baize door into Watts's studio in Little Holland House, Kensington, it seemed to Ellen that she was entering a paradise where only beautiful things were allowed to come. and it must have been a thrilling moment when Watts proposed painting the sisters together. Ellen remembered being kissed by Watts, sweetly and gently. This was so unexpected, so significant, that she presumed the two of them were engaged. Watts wrote that he was determined to remove the youngest Miss Terry from the temptations and abominations of the stage, give her an education, and, if she continues to have the affection she now feels for me, marry her. As for Ellen, I was in heaven, for I knew I was to live with those pictures and to sit to that gentle Mr. W. in Wonderland. This Wonderland, Little Holland House, was owned by a Mrs. Princep, and Watts was a glorified house guest. Decked out in shades of velvet and wearing ornate slippers, Watts himself reclined on a chaise longue, while the luncheons and dinners moved as court.